Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
606, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With former Cardinal and Redbird World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, I'm Randy Carricker. And a little over 10 years ago, 101 ESPN went on the air, and the inaugural board operator for 101 ESPN was one Aaron Goldsmith, who now has worked his way up to becoming the voice of the Seattle Mariners, and he's with us now on 101 ESPN via the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line. Aaron, it's always good to hear your voice. How are you today?
Hey, Randy, doing very well. How about yourself?
Everything's great. I want to start with this team that you're broadcasting. Last year, we just had Dan McLaughlin on, and he reminded us that the Mariners won 89 games. What happened with the thought process of the Mariners between last season and the 89th win and the start of this season?
It's pretty remarkable. A lot of people look back at the Mariners' season last year on paper, and you think, well, if you can retool, maybe augment a piece here or there, you could get over 90 wins and be in contention for the playoffs. Unfortunately for the Mariners last season, the reality was that they were really running red line for the majority of the season, and they were able to ring out that season and get a pretty miraculous 89 wins, in part because of a closer who now, unfortunately, is really struggling in the National League with the Mets and Edwin Diaz. He was so historic and so incredible protecting one-run leads. The Mariners' ability to win close games last year was almost unprecedented, and it's almost entirely because of the ninth inning and what Edwin Diaz was able to do. The Mariners wouldn't have been able, and in some ways I'm oversimplifying things, it was more than just Edwin Diaz, but that is a major piece of last year, and the success the Mariners had was because he was able to secure so many games late, even sometimes in the eighth inning. And add to that, it was a overall roster that just did not look built to win in years beyond 2018 for a variety of reasons. So the decision was made, ownership approved it, to retool, reload, rebuild, however you want to spin it or talk about it. And the Mariners are in the midst of that right now.
Aaron, when you're doing a rebuild or a retool, or once again, like you said, whatever you want to call it, you generally have the idea of who you want to build around. Are those guys in the big leagues right now for the Mariners, or are they in the minor leagues? I mean, who are those pieces that you want to build around?
It's a little bit of both. There are a couple of pieces right now that the Mariners certainly have as cornerstones. And interestingly enough, Edwin Diaz was thought to be one of those kind of three until the Mariners got an offer that they just couldn't refuse from the Mets, which includes the guy that they are going to really circle all their future plans around, a young man named Jared Kelnick, who right now is 18 years old. He was drafted just a year ago out of high school. He's a sixth overall pick, and right now he's in high A ball in the California League. And he's really what the Mariners' plans going forward revolve around. But in terms of personnel right here in the major leagues that they went into this season envisioning being a part of the future, one is all-star from last year, Mitch Haniger, unfortunately on the injured list right now. The Cardinals will not see him in the series. And another guy is somebody that you guys know fairly well, and that's Marco Gonzalez. He was the Mariners' opening day starter. But Tyler O'Neill is getting a start today in left field. Marco will not pitch in this series. He's had a rocky road at times this year, especially relative to his success from last season. But he's somebody of the Mariners. They love him as a pitcher. They love his makeup. They love what he is like in the clubhouse. And he's somebody that the Mariners have penciled in for not only for this year, but at least at this moment for years to come.
What is the expectation for Haniger in when he's going to return? And when he has been out there, he hasn't been nearly as productive as he was the last couple of seasons.
No, you're right. It was a disappointing first half for Mitch. Now, it's recently disappointing because of the injury, but we won't see him until the second half of the season. He had a really unfortunate injury and was rushed back after fouling a ball off of himself. For Mitch, this year, it's just been the strikeouts. He struck out way more than we're used to seeing. You kind of have to ride the wave with Mitch, which is true of so many players outside of the elite in this game. They can be streaky. Mitch is certainly part of that class of player. But he had an all-star campaign last year. He's a very good outfielder, very good defender. And he is capable of carrying a ball club for a week at a time, if not slightly longer than that. It just hasn't been there this year for Mitch. Hopefully, if there can be any value of stepping away from the field for a little bit, clearing your head and coming back fresh, hopefully Mitch will benefit from that in the second half.
And I look at his skill set, Aaron, as top 10 among corner outfielders. Obviously, like you said, the consistency isn't there, but his skill set might be top 10 in all of Major League Baseball among corner outfielders. Could you envision him getting to a level of consistency where he could be a top 10 outfielder in the majors?
You know who he reminds me a lot of is somebody that you guys know very well and we see all the time now in the American League West, is Stephen Piscotty. Not maybe from a standpoint of they all have, both those guys are exact in every measure, but they're both guys who are capable of making an all-star game on a year-in and year-out basis. Not that it's going to happen for sure, but they are of roughly that quality. They're both really good defenders. They both have good power. Both will rack up their fair share of doubles each season as well. They're just really good complementary pieces that you want to build a lineup around or have be a part of a lineup. And for Mitch, you know, his career got started in the big league level later than most. He's a former first-round draft pick who went back to the lower minors to totally retool his swing. I mean, he is the poster child of a modern swing, Mitch Haniger, in many ways. And if the Mariners want to have success in the second half of the season, even if that doesn't mean reaching the playoffs, but if they just want to have a winning second half, Mitch Haniger is going to have to be a part of it.
Aaron, I'm a sucker for the big dude who can rake. That would be your first baseman, Daniel Vogelbach, the lone all-star representative. And the beauty of baseball is you don't always have to fit the profile of this guy's a freak athlete. He's a little bit bigger fella, but he's got some big-time pop. And it looks like they got something pretty good in that trade a couple of years back for Mike Montgomery.
You know, for a couple of years, that trade was looking very Cubs one-sided, which I know nobody in St. Louis likes to hear that. Mike Montgomery, of course, is part of that World Series team for the Cubs. The Mariners were in need of pitching, especially in the rotation, and Montgomery is gone as Vogelbach was raking in AAA. And there was kind of this thought that he would maybe be just a quad-A type player. The Mariners had Nelson Cruz. They were thinking of having Vogelbach DH because Daniel is not a supreme defensive player, although he is getting more run out there at first base to try to kind of hone those skills a little bit. And there was really some questions as to whether or not this Vogelbach guy would ever stick in the majors, especially with the Mariners. He was out of options. Probably the best thing that happened to Daniel Vogelbach is he was told before spring training that he was on the team. There was no pressure on him. He didn't have to try to prove or overprove something. Just be yourself. Do what you have done that has made you excel in even the upper levels of the minors. And we're seeing a lot of that now in the majors. I think you guys will be really interested watching him. When you look at a guy of his build, it looks like a powder keg. You don't think of somebody who doesn't chase, who is very disciplined at the plate. Now, he does have probably more strikeouts than he would like this year. But truly, there's nobody in baseball who swings the bat less than Daniel Vogelbach. He has the lowest swing rate in the majors. He rarely chases outside the strike zone. If it's not a strike, he will not swing at it. Or if he does, he gets very upset, as you guys may see, when the at-bat is over with. But he's got massive power. He is truly chopping wood when he's at the plate. And his swing doesn't even finish. It's like a three-quarter swing. But he's been a lot of fun to watch. He would be great in the home run derby. He's just really entertaining in so many ways.
I have a particular interest in Felix Hernandez because he was so good for such a long time, and it really does feel like his ability was sort of wasted being there because he didn't really get to, you know, showcase that off around playoff time. So I know he's been dealing with injuries, and I know it's been a quite a long road back for him, but how is he doing?
Well, unfortunately, and you're right about all those things, he's currently on the injured list. He is a free agent at the end of the season, so who knows what his future in Seattle or elsewhere will be at the end of 2019. I think when it's all said and done, Felix will be atop a relatively short list of greatest pitchers to never appear in a playoff game. That very well could happen. Now, who knows where he ends up next year, if it's Seattle or somewhere else, if he can somehow get healthy and reinvent himself and maybe he gets on a playoff team. Certainly, that's possible. But at this point in time right now, that is a realistic possibility that he never sees October baseball, which is really a crime because people in the Northwest saw one of the great pitchers in the American League over a decade span worth of time. He has won Cy Young. He could have won another. Corey Kluber won his first the year that Felix Hernandez could have won his second. And Kluber, of course, is fantastic. But for years, this franchise in Seattle was Felix Hernandez. It was him. He was the face. He was the only reason you would come to the ballpark because the Mariners were struggling in so many other facets. It's really disappointing. I hope he can get healthy and get back on the mound, if for no other reason, to have a send-off here in Seattle, because the last few years have soured his numbers. He was looking like he would be a lock. I mean, this is true. He looked like he'd be a lock for Cooperstown in 2014, and it's amazing what 3 or 4 years can do to a player who has a lot of mileage on his arm. But my goodness, he is remarkable when he was healthy and when he was the king, man. There's almost nothing like it.
Aaron Goldsmith, great to hear your voice. Glad that you're succeeding with the Seattle Mariners, and enjoy the weekend with the Cardinals in town.
All right, you guys take care. You keep an eye on those board ops. You never know where they're going to be one day.
we're so proud and happy for you. It's a wonderful thing. See you later. That is Aaron Goldsmith from the Seattle Mariners, the first board op here at 101 ESPN.
That's a pretty significant jump, I would say.
Yeah, did a lot of minor league baseball. He was the voice of the Grizzlies for a couple of years.
Awesome, man.
Just climbed the ladder, and now we've got people all over the place going off to parts unknown.
Work hard, good things happen.
Yeah.
So he went straight from board op to Mariner?
No, he did a lot of
Gateway while he was here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before he was here, and then Pawtucket. He did 3 or 4 minor league teams and climbed the ladder. By the way, Felix Hernandez, 2014, he finishes second in the Cy Young voting with a 2.14 ERA. Since 2014, his ERAs have been 3.53, 3.82, 4.36, 5.55, and this year 6.52.
A lot of injuries.
Yeah.
A lot of time in the minors.
A lot of pitches thrown in meaningless games.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks the most when you have a guy who's that freaking good.
You want to see him on that stage.
Yes.
Well, I think we have the same conversation oftentimes about Mike Trout. We're seeing him right now and not seeing him in the playoffs.
It's a bummer.
Sucks. Yeah. It sucks for baseball fans.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Jed Jerko.
Yeah. And Jed Jerko.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Has he played in a playoff game? I don't think he has. A good player, 30 home run guy.
I don't think so.
Oh, man. Coming up next in the Fast Lane, we've seen some of the numbers flying around NBA free agency, but the latest offer for Kawhi Leonard is one nobody can refuse. That's next before, with all due respect, on 101 ESPN. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we want to hear from you with the mic drop feature on your 101 ESPN app. For you, as the Cardinals approach the trade deadline, what players on the team or in the organization are untouchable? Which players do you say when another general manager or Pobo calls, nope, can't have him? We want to know. Use the mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app. We've got, with all due respect, coming up in a moment. Before that, though, Kawhi Leonard has just about everything. 2 NBA titles, 2 Finals MVPs. What else could he possibly want? Well, Laker fans are hoping the answer to that question is pizza. This is an offer from Pizza Uki owner Steve Aoki.
Kawhi, you got to come to Lakers. You, LeBron, AD, LA would go insane. And not only would I give you free Pizza Aoki for life, but I will throw the biggest pizza party that LA has ever seen right in front of the Staples Center. Let's break the Guinness Book of World Records on this one in your honor. Let's do it. Kawhi, come home to LA. Come to Lakers.
With all due respect, how can you turn that down?
Well, I don't think you can.
Biggest pizza party ever?
Yeah. Well, and especially if you were already leaning that way or you were already going to do it, you might as well just take the olive branch here, take your free pizza for life, and just throw a big old party that'll be in your name.
What about the company in Toronto, though, that offered to pay his salary so that he could double dip? If he would sign for 5 years and, what, $164 million? Or no, $220 million with the Raptors. Somebody else would give him another $220 million?
That was the thing?
The company said they would pay that, yeah.
I would do that. Is that legal?
I don't know.
Can people just give you money?
Why not?
That seems to be some sort of tampering or something.
He could do commercials
so.
for them.
Yeah, commercials. It's like, it's not amateur athletics.
That's true. I'll go with that then. Save maybe, your pizza party.
Well, and maybe, by the way, another company offered him free food for life if he signed with Toronto.
Well, my understanding is L.A. pizza sucks.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Like, nobody can find good pizza there. Mm. So maybe he just doesn't want.
Yankees broadcaster John Sterling has gone 5,058 consecutive games. But starting Thursday, he's going to miss his first game in 30 years for the Yankees because he has to deal with health issues. With all due respect, when you come back after 17 days from quadruple bypass, then I'll be impressed with your streak. Oh. But until then, eh.
He never took a day off, Randy.
He never, well, he took the off seasons off.
Does have entire off season.
That is true. That's like 5 months.
Yeah, Randy was back as soon as they let him come back.
17 days, man.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't take an access unit to the hospital.
Thought about it.
Did they have access units a couple years back?
Yeah, they did.
Good of a thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
When did those things start? The access unit where you could just kind of do a show whenever.
Been around for a while.
Well, with the internet thing, it's probably in the last decade, but they had one that you could just use a regular phone line like 25 years ago. It's pretty awesome.
I was going to go a different direction, but now you got me thinking about you coming back 17 days after your bypass. Randy, with all due respect, that probably wasn't in your best interest. I mean, really. I realize that we don't have the most strenuous of jobs, but. It was probably not a great idea.
Especially when all I wanted to do was beat Alan Craig back. I was concerned that Alan Craig would come back during spring training. He didn't come back until June.
So that was your goal?
That was my goal. Yeah.
Was to make sure you made it back before Alan Craig did?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
He's not back yet.
He never did come back.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not considering the other possibility here that somebody didn't want him at home anymore.
He was kind of forced into duty.
Randy, like, don't you think...
It's a distinct possibility.
Aren't you ready to go back to work yet?
You know, I think that would really help your recovery, getting back to a little normalcy in your life.
Yeah.
Could see that.
I could see
that. Yankees win.
Whoever's filling in for him, do they have to
Ryan
do that?
Ryan Rocco.
Okay.
ESPN and yes.
I hope he tries to. Guys, this is a really sad story out of Dublin, Ireland. A Cocker Spaniel was swimming in a duck pond when there was a family of ducks nearby the Cocker Spaniel. And the mother swan in the group was protecting her little babies. So started flying after the Cocker Spaniel and started to lift its wings up and down and beat the dog down until it drowned.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was protecting her little ones. With all due respect, I would always put my money on the swan in this case.
Wow.
Don't swim in the swan's
the dog
territory.
Was just hanging out.
Yeah. Dog
just
didn't know what was going on.
Dog's owner.
Standing up on the shore there.
You don't just stand there. You go out and you save that dog.
They tried. Well, they yelled at the swan to distract it.
Is that going
to
do it?
It didn't do it. No, it didn't work.
Stop! Don't drown my dog!
Go get a wrist rocket.
Stop picking at me, swan.
Blow that baby up.
Peter Dignan, a Dublin City Council Park Ranger, arrived just after 11 a.m., and he and two colleagues retrieved the dog's body from the water.
I know for a fact that I'm jumping into the water and I'm tackling a swan.
I am too.
I'm swimming towards it, and it will probably drown me due to the fact that I'm not a strong swimmer. But it ain't going to drown my dog.
All you have to do is, I think, hit the swan in the neck, like with a backhand.
Don't you just grab it by the neck?
You can do that too.
I think you'd break the neck of the thing very easily.
Yes. If it's trying to kill your dog.
Look, you got to do what you got to do.
It's the dog or the swan.
Family. Swan ain't my family.
Yeah, swan's not wagging its tail when you get home.
No, we'll make sure we get its, little. What do you call baby swans? I was going to call them swanlings, but I don't think that's
thing. That's good.
Anyways, make sure the baby swans find a nice home.
Yeah. All I know is this whole thing could have been avoided if the man just would have had bread.
True.
Swans and geese and ducks, they love bread.
Yeah.
Love drowning dogs more, apparently.
Just trying to protect your young ones.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect, this Cardinals franchise has lost its mojo, and damn it, we want it back.
Well, got to find it.
I don't know where it is.
It's in Seattle, and they're going to find it there.
Nice.
Oh, I like that.
You think so? Well, that's where Stella got her groove back.
Is it?
I don't think so. I don't know. It could be. Anybody ever seen a 65780?
With all due respect, there are way too many irrelevant NBA players making $10 million or more per year.
Name one.
It is crazy, and the point of irrelevant is just due to the fact that you don't watch the NBA, because I did the same thing. I was like, who the hell is this guy making $37 million? I'll tell you this, teams aren't going to pay guys that kind of money unless they believe they're worth it. Is what it is.
Bobby Portis, right? He's making big money with the Knicks now. Julius Randle, we know him.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah.
With all due respect, Bader and O'Neal should have been traded instead of Pham and Mercado.
Bader and O'Neal should have been traded rather. Sure.
I'll go with your hindsight. I'm in. I'm totally in on that.
And with all due respect, I'm tired of hearing about former Cardinals who are killing it with other teams.
Well, good. Well, if this makes you feel any better, Luke Voit is on the IL.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
He won't hurt anybody for like 10 days or so. And Tommy Pham didn't make the All-Star team, even though his numbers probably said he should.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Who else? Oh, Ricardo. Carson Kelly didn't make the All-Star team,
yep.
Even though he had some of the best numbers for a catcher since May.
Yeah.
Oscar Mercado's hitting second for the Indians
and
making web gems.
Oh, and a baby swan is called a cygnet.
A what?
Cygnet.
Is that a thing? Really? Yeah. A cygnet?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
C-Y-G-N-E-T.
I would have certainly spelled that wrong. You had me at the S. You'd have been
buzzing
me out of
this thing.
I would
have said S-I-G-N-E-T.
Why didn't they use this in that spelling bee? They ran out of words.
Apparently, Stella got her groove back in Jamaica, by the way.
That's my
She goes with her gal pal for some fun in the sun, and she meets a guy named Winston. And when it's time to return to California, she realizes that she's developed real feelings for her new man.
That's not even close to Seattle.
No.
Depends
so.
Which way you go to get there.
Yeah.
I like you take around. The long way.
Like that's how the Cardinals will get their groove back.
I like to circumnavigate my way to
that's great,
Jamaica.
No, I had extra time.
Coming up, we want to hear from you. What Cardinal players are untouchable at the July 31st trade deadline? Nolan Gorman, he untouchable for you? What if the San Francisco Giants will trade you Madison Bumgarner, but it would take you Jack Flaherty? Would you do it?
No.
We want to hear from you next with the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. You're next on 101 ESPN. All right. If you are Mo, who can't you touch? Can't touch this.
Who can't you touch?
Here's some mic drops. Here's Jan on 101 ESPN.
I have absolutely no untouchables on our team. They can get rid of them all. I don't care. None of them. And especially Reyes. That would be a good one to get rid of. But I don't think you could get anything for him now.
I'm with you, Jan.
Jan seems a little salty right now.
Yeah. She's very salty.
I understand. I get it. There's frustration there. There are a few players that I would like to keep around. All right. I don't think that we need to mention, like, Paul Goldschmidt is still
he's not
a
going
guy.
Anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. And I don't think that we have to mention these guys either. I want to keep my middle infield together. DeJong and Wong, I'm not trading. I'm not getting rid of those guys in any deal. As far as my prospects go, though, and while I love the idea of Nolan Gorman and everybody else, Dylan Carlson, for the right deal, nobody is untouchable, prospects-wise.
In terms of prospects, I 100% agree with you. I think the only issue the Cardinals run into is if when they make a deal here, before the deadline, if the intent is to be better for this year and win for this year, I don't know how many guys on the team you can trade away, you know, because when you do that, you're just creating more holes. Mm-hmm. So that's the only problem you're going to run into in this situation. That's why prospects, see ya. I am more than willing to let go of prospects.
Curtis, who you got?
Nobody is untouchable. Blow this thing up. Drop the bomb. This is mediocre baseball, and it's been that way for 4 years. Blow it up. Everybody's gone. Start over. At this point, I'd rather just start the rebuild than limp along 2 games out of the playoffs every year. This is crap.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
I don't see a rebuild happening for this team. I don't see a reason to have a rebuild. You have a couple of cornerstones. Certainly, your roster needs to be better, or players need to play better, more specifically. But a rebuild's not afoot.
In the cards, as it were.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think they think of it that way. I don't see them doing that anytime soon.
No.
I mean, if it's evident, it just isn't going to go anywhere. And they're not. The problem is you find yourself in a little bit, if you're them, you find yourself in kind of a purgatory, right, where you're not going to rebuild, but you're also not going to totally go wild with spending and free agency. You'll do some, and you'll commit a decent amount of money, but you're not going to go Manny Machado money. So you're in this middle ground now.
And if they would go back to where they were, even when they were somewhat competitive in the early 90s, the BFIB were not the BFIB. It's not like these people are going to show up for a last place team.
No,
they don't.
And that's true pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, people talk about how the fans are so great and they're going to show up. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in every market in the country. But if your team is bad enough for long enough, people are not coming. I don't care where you are. They're not going to spend their money on it.
Steven is on 101 ESPN.
To be honest with you, I don't think Mr. DeWitt's interested in trading any of his top draft picks or getting any deeper than he already is. The top nine guys in salary on the Cardinals, we're stuck with them this year and next year at $110 million. And most, if not all of them, have little to no trade value. So I think what they're going to do is probably just get a dumpster diver or two before the deadline, hope and pray for lightning in a bottle, and they somehow make the playoffs and get the faithful off of their backs and reevaluate after the season.
I'm all about the dumpster dive if it works.
I'm all about making it into the playoffs, too. Mm-hmm. So all of this doesn't sound it doesn't sound all bad. I do agree that your highest paid players don't have a ton of value. Even if you did want to sell off and you just thought, all right, we're at the point where we do believe, and once again, this isn't in the cards, but we believe that we need to start over. You're probably not going to get the pieces that you want to get for the players that you have. Like, it's they don't have enough value currently to do a rebuild. And I hope it's not, at the trade deadline, a dumpster dive. I hope it's more of a player that people are excited about, that plugs into the rotation or is a good piece in the bullpen. And I still don't see... I still don't see where you fit in a position player unless you have a guy that ends up being out for very long term, and maybe the Marcelo Zuna, hope, knock on wood, hope doesn't open up a hole there at the trade deadline, but it could.
This MARP back has been an issue now for quite some time.
How long, Randy?
Well, about a week back.
Yeah.
Actually, down the stretch in 17, remember he had the bad back. Spring training of 18, had it a little bit last year, spring training this year, and now again. So when you have a bad back, doesn't always go away.
Well, no, for a lot of players, it hangs around for, you know, until their career's over.
Right.
And you're just doing what you can to manage it.
And it tends to hang around after that. People just don't care.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. CJ on 101 ESPN.
I would say everyone on our farm system prospect list and everyone on our actual MLB roster is up for sale. I would trade anybody. Wouldn't protect a soul. This team's the worst Cardinal team I've seen since 1999. We've traded Voit, Mercado, Fam for a collective gift card to Chick-fil-A, and this is just a terrible team, and that hurts to watch. I would try to trade a prospect for literally anyone. Make up for what we've done.
Now, I would not trade Gorman for literally anyone, and I know where you're going here, BT.
What?
If you can get a Chick-fil-A gift card?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't get a gift card. Who got the gift
card? I didn't
get
one.
I don't know. Cardinals got the gift card?
Probably.
By the way, the significant piece that they've gotten back, and the Luke Voit, like, you can be upset about it if you want to because of the numbers that he's putting up, and I guess just on the surface I understand it, but he wasn't going to play. He had no spot. It was either Carpenter or then it was Goldschmidt. Like, he did not have a place to play, and I still think that you're going to pick Goldschmidt over him.
If John Mozeliak gets up on stage at the winter warm-up over Martin Luther King or Dr. King Day weekend, this past January, and says, we're very happy with Tommy Pham as our center fielder and Luke Voit as our first baseman. That's what we're going with. You think that fans would have been thrilled with that?
No, I think that people would be up in arms about that.
I think so, too.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily the Tommy Pham, because Tommy put up some numbers. But if they were going to stand pat on Luke Voit, and especially with the knowledge, and there was knowledge that the Diamondbacks were at the very least willing to listen on Goldschmidt, I think people would lose their mind.
But, I would think so.
Know, what are you going to do?
One more from Beefy.
As for the Cardinals that are untouchable on this roster, I would say the whole roster is pretty damn touchable. They need to open their minds and explore trading some of these guys. You can get something for a Dakota Hudson, for a Jack Flaherty. You can get something for a Gant. You can get a whole hell of a lot of something for a Gorman. You can't get anything for a broken down Matt Carpenter and a busted up Alex Reyes.
First of all, I love Beefy.
Me too.
Yeah, Friend of the show, Beefy. I guess you could get something for Hudson, Flaherty, Gant, and Gorman. The thing is, with those four guys, you have something. You've got starters. You've got frontline starters in Hudson's big great. Flaherty has had his ups and downs in his sophomore season. Fair. Still like what you have there. I don't believe that you're going to get a prospect for Flaherty that ends up being better than what Jack Flaherty is.
If those guys weren't so young already, I would be more open to the idea. And it really just comes down to when do they really truly think that they are going to be better than competitive? Because that's what they've been telling us for the last several years. We want to be competitive. Competitive can mean you just miss out on the playoffs and, you know, you're living up to your word as a team. You're saying we want to be competitive. Well, if you miss out by a game or two, you were, in fact, by definition, competitive that year. But that's not what I think people want. What they want is a team that's going to go to the playoffs. And when they get to the playoffs, they've got enough to make real noise in the playoffs, in the postseason. So how far away from that are we?
Hard to say. Because, once again, I think the players are good enough. They just aren't playing well enough. So, it's hard to say. Now, I would not trade Nolan Gorman. This is a guy that, as a 20-year-old, can make the majors next year. I think it might bother me for 20 years to see Nolan Gorman become Jeff Bagwell and wind up having a Hall of Fame career because the Cardinals were willing to trade anybody so that they could tear this thing down.
I have no idea what a trade that would involve Nolan Gorman would look like. It would look like you getting some sort of a superstar in return. So if you get that right guy for a controlled amount of year, I ain't renting anybody for a Nolan Gorman. Maybe I'm in, but yes, that one could bite you.
We've got a quick game of Would You Rather coming up as we head down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. All right, we're heading down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane with a game of Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here is Big Sizz.
You guys remember that show Jersey Shore? It was on maybe like 10 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, yeah. Everybody remembers
Jim
it.
Jim Tan Laundry, yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a Jersey Shore-themed wedding or funeral?
Funeral.
Yeah, because then I won't know anything going
matters.
On. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Who cares? And maybe everybody else will get a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
Would you rather live in a mansion with little to no running water or live in a small one-story house but have clean running water?
Small
clean
one-story running water. House.
Yeah.
For me.
You got that too. You got a roof over your head, right? I want a roof over my head and working plumbing and water.
One of the greatest human inventions ever is running water. Plumbing. Can you imagine not being able to flush?
Ugh. Have everybody over at your mansion. But hey, where's the bathroom? You point them outside.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go out there. My running water, not so hot.
That's right.
But you have a mansion. Yeah, but I did a would you rather and I picked the wrong side.
Right.
Idiot. Would you rather have to eat food that you hate for the rest of your life or never be able to use technology again?
Eat food I hate for the rest of my life because that means I'm going to eat healthier. I won't eat stuff that tastes good to me.
See, I feel like I'm going to have to end up eating like seafood all the time that I don't eat at all. And I feel like it make me gag all the time.
The way I'm looking at it, I just hate everything that I'm going to eat.
Yeah. No, technology, though, would be impossible to do what we do.
Yeah, I was wondering, does technology include talking on the radio?
It's got to be. I mean, that's technology, isn't it?
It includes plumbing. I'll tell you that.
I'll go with bad food.
Would you rather have Derek Jeter's ex-girlfriend list or Tiger Woods golf swing?
I'll take Tiger Woods golf swing because my wife would like that better.
And it's Derek's ex-girlfriend list.
Yeah. Is he married now?
Yeah, and has a kid. He married that the actress,
right?
TV, Hannah something.
Oh, that's right.
Montana?
No, she was, we had her on the show, and she only gave one-word answers.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't even remember her answer.
Kaiser?
No.
Who was Hannah Kaiser? That's somebody, right?
I don't remember this. Dang it, what was her last name?
She did the DirecTV commercials. Hannah Jeter. She did DirecTV commercials for a long time.
We're going to come
Hannah
up with
Davis.
Her. There she is.
I don't remember that.
You didn't book her?
I don't think so.
She was on the show.
She was definitely on the show.
Would you, if you're going to a 4th of July cookout, would you rather walk up and have them serving barbecued wings or burgers?
I like both of these things. I'm going to go with burgers, though, just for a 4th of July cookout. I think that's an easier eat really fast, you know, knock out a burger.
Right.
I'm going to go with that.
Are you guys iffy about, like, eating wings in certain places? Like, a picnic, it'd be messy, and if you're standing, it's hard to eat wings. Like, I'll only eat wings at some place.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously.
Okay, mate.
Like, boneless wings are different.
Okay, yeah. I'll only eat them at some place, like the places that have them.
I'm fine with wings anywhere, but I think I would go with burgers on this particular question.
I feel the way that you do, though, about ribs sometimes. You got to be in the right place. Like, there are some times where I'll go to a restaurant and ribs are on the menu and they sound great. But if I'm not with people I know super well, I'm probably not going to order the ribs.
Right.
Because I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to look sloppy. Yeah. But it's a thing that you, I think ordering ribs, you're going to a barbecue place, right? So everybody understands that's what you're going
to
do.
Oh, if you go to a barbecue place, it's
that's
fine,
what you're doing.
But it's on, I mean, they're on menus at
lots of
menus.
Places. And some places, they have really good ribs and you would never know it, right? But I'm totally with you. You only do it if it's a like a community thing. Like, we're all doing this together.
Wait,
otherwise,
for everybody
you just
else
look,
to order. Like, please, God, somebody get
somebody
the
get those ribs.
All right, I'll get the ribs, too.
Or you suggest it. You go, man, they got ribs here? I wonder if those are any good. You
man.
Guys like ribs?
I wish I'd have asked Mike Johnson from Sugar Fire earlier, because I want to know where to get a great beef rib. Yeah. I like beef ribs.
Good question. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. BT?
Hey, does the winning streak start now? Whoa,
Raj.
He believes it.
Maybe the Cardinals make a trade while they're in Seattle. I mean, they might.
Colin Surrey, our board op today, and for Mike Ryder. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting, and being a part of the show for all of us till tomorrow at 3. Good night, St. Louis.